So at this point, we've had a series of speakers that have started off with some very large conceptual ideas, and we're moving from these large conceptual ideas of global scale to a regional scale to the landscape scale. And what I'd like to do at this point is to go to actually the site scale as a kind of case study for what are some of these soil changes that we're quantifying. And in this case, we're looking at how management, the things that we do actively on that soil surface, can be changing some of those soil properties, and in this case, again, soil organic carbon, and the role of tillage and what that does. So what is new and what's surprising in long-term tillage studies? But first, what's not so new or surprising about these studies is that the benefits of using reduced tillage of no-till very frequently, we talk about soil conservation and erosion control, water conservation, particularly in those semi-arid and non-irrigated systems where maintaining that soil structure and reducing soil disturbance is so important. And then on the economic side, just the savings in fuel and labor costs associated with going to a reduced or no-till system. But we also know that the use of reduced tillage or no-till practices means that we have some increased dependence on herbicide use and some more machine passes associated with that. There is going to be some slower soil warming or drying related to the drainage in that soil. And there will be specific equipment needs and modifications that you have to make to your management, to the overall system, in order to make that practice work for you. So really the pros and cons of using a reduced or no-till system is going to depend on the full management, including what kind of tillage you're using, what type of rotations you have, what is your fertility regime. Do you have an integrated system with livestock? Or are you adding manure? Are you using cover crops? What's your residue management? There's a bajillion different combinations of these different management that can influence what's going on related to your tillage responses. So can no-till increase soil organic carbon? And in this case, I'm going to use no-till to encompass both reduced tillage and no-tillage. Soil organic carbon storage is very frequently listed as a no-till benefit, and along with that comes improved soil health, higher crop yields in some cases, but not all, and particularly this potential to mitigate climate change. We see a lot of literature talking about the conversion of conventionally tilled systems to no-till systems as having high potential for helping us mitigate greenhouse gases in the atmosphere through carbon storage in the soil. But really, how we interpret that data is very context dependent. And in this case, let's look at a review of 23 different studies that had 47 sites. These sites ranging in age anywhere from 5 to 30 years on average. They're about 16 years old. And if you look at the change in soil organic carbon in a no-till system relative to a moldboard plow system over time, with anything in the positive range being carbon storage, anything in the negative range being soil organic carbon loss, we see that it really depends on how deep in the soil are you looking to answer this question. So soil organic gains or carbon gains in the surface are expected, and we do see those. But as you look at the whole soil profile, well, I'm going to say whole soil, but obviously it's not whole. But as you look deeper and deeper and integrate more soil into this idea, you start to see that those gains are not as evident when you look deeper. We also know that soil organic carbon gains are going to be affected by our regional climate. And again, here's another review that kind of looks at some predicted changes in soil organic carbon rates over time, both in different regions of the U.S. and worldwide. And they can be different, and they have pretty huge standard deviations. But again, this is in the context of looking at conversion of conventionally tilled or plowed systems to no-till. But what about soil organic changes, not between these two treatments necessarily, but over time within the same treatment? In order to really look at soil organic carbon changes, we have to have that baseline number against which we could compare each of those treatments to know what that management effect is. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. So this is a study that's 20 years no-till in Ohio. What is the rate of soil organic carbon change over a 20-year time horizon? Typically, what we'll see in the literature is we'll see both a no-till and a plow that was collected. These samples are collected on the same date, same year, often just the surface soils, and they'll say, look, between the no-till and the plow, we have this much more carbon in the no-till system, therefore conversion from conventional tillage to no-till is going to result in this amount of building of carbon. If we're lucky, we might get some soil, some subsoils involved in that, and then the difference just looks even bigger because you've gone a deeper depth in the soil. But in this case, we also have baseline data from 1998, 20 years prior. And if we were to actually look within each one of those tillage systems from baseline to present, we find that in both management systems, you see a soil organic carbon loss. But we also see that no-till, it lessens the severity of that soil organic carbon loss over time. And that's where that green bar came from in the previous slide. So can no-till systems increase soil organic carbon? It really depends. It's going to depend on your site, and it's going to be context dependent. Some of the challenges for measuring the soil organic carbon change is going to be, are you looking at surface soils? Are you looking at deeper soils? What are those bulk density changes that are involved with these different managements? Are we looking at soil carbon concentrations versus carbon stocks? And then we also have to deal with the advances in our analytical capabilities. Are we changing instrumentation over time, and how much of an effect does that have, and how we interpret long-term data that was collected decades ago versus what we're measuring today? And of course, that oh-so-important changes over time relative to a baseline number. So here's this case study that I'd like to get into. It's a 30-year tillage and crop rotation study that's located 19 kilometers east of Lincoln. It was established in 1980. And we have six tillage treatments across this landscape from varying aggressiveness from no-till all the way to moldboard plow. And we have three cropping systems in this study where we have continuous corn, a corn-soybean rotation in which both of those phases are present every year, and then a continuous soybean system, and six field replicates that are distributed along the landscape, as you can see here. Within each one of those replicates, that are fairly large, we can use commercial machinery here. We have those different tillage treatments randomly assigned across the landscape, and then within each one of those, our cropping systems are randomly assigned. But we did sample this site and have soil data from 1982, from 1999, and from 2011, from the 0 to 150 centimeters. So this gives us a really great opportunity to look at what these changes over time are. And because I don't want to go over all six tillage systems, let me just give you a range from no-till to disc, which is the most conventionally what we see, and then to our most aggressive tillage treatment for these three different cropping systems. And again, we're going to look at soil organic carbon stocks for the whole 0 to 150 soil profile. And what we see in 1982, there is some variability in that landscape. But we're going to apply that baseline level to all of these systems because at that time, none of those systems were established. In 1999, when we look at those soil organic carbon stocks in all of these systems, we have a tremendous increase in the amount of soil organic carbon that's being stored over that 18-year period of time. And most importantly, what we can see is that as the aggressiveness of your tillage treatment increases, that relative increase in soil organic carbon is not so big. If we look at our 2011 numbers, we're still seeing a maintenance of very high levels of soil organic carbon, and relative to the 1982 numbers, those numbers are following the same trends that we talked about earlier, although we're seeing some of these systems, especially in these plow systems, there's not necessarily an increase of soil organic carbon. So let's just kind of recap what we're talking about here. And if we look between 1999 and 2011, that change that we see over the whole 30-year time period really gets washed out here in the more contemporary changes. So if we recap what's going on, between 1999 and 1982, we see very large changes in that soil organic carbon in the top 150 centimeters of soil, decreasing as the intensity of tillage increases. If we look at the 1982 to 2011 time horizon, we still see those increases in soil organic carbon, though they're not as large. And we can attribute that to more contemporary losses or maintenance of soil organic carbon that have happened between 1999 and 2011. So since that time, the soils have either maintained or lost some soil organic carbon. So what is going on there? If we look at just the surface soils, and again, in addition to the very deep soil soil samples that we've been taking, we have a series of soil samplings that we took from 0 to 30 over the course of that period as well. And for all of those tillage systems in this example of continuous corn, what we'll see is that sometime between our last sampling in 2004 and the sampling in 2011, every single tillage system lost some soil organic carbon in that top 30 centimeters. And the only thing that changed that would have affected every single plot was the manner in which we were using applying our fertilizer. And at that time, everything up until then had been surface-applied ammonium nitrate. And then when ammonium nitrate became very difficult to obtain, we switched over to injecting urea, like many people did. So that path of including injected urea is a soil disturbance and could be part, and we think that that's responsible for some of these soil organic carbon losses that we're seeing. So the long-term maintenance and gain of soil organic carbon is related to these biomass inputs, we think. The crop breeding over the last 30 years has really been tremendous, and so the amount of carbon going into those soils is contributing. Even under the most aggressive tillage practice, we're still seeing some gains in soil organic carbon. But we see that the tillage intensity is going to affect the degree of the gain or the loss of that carbon in those soils over time. And that the recent soil organic carbon losses likely reflect those changes in fertilizer management, again, a management-related loss since 2004. So can no-till increase soil organic carbon? Yes. But those soil organic carbon changes are context-dependent, they're location-dependent. And again, we go back to that statement earlier that the pros and cons of using reduced or no tillage is going to depend on that full management system, all of the other practices that you are integrating. And in particular, it also depends on the site history of what you've done there in the past. And so we're integrating not just all the practices, but what's gone on at that site over time. So quantifying the agricultural soil potential to sequester carbon and in that way mitigate climate change is going to depend on long-term multi-site data because these changes are so context-dependent. So here's where I get to make a plug for USDA's GRACENET, the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Through Agricultural Carbon Enhancement Network. And in this network, we have about 38 sites across the United States. All of these sites have contributed data in soil organic carbon changes. Many of them are taking greenhouse gas emissions data also from these sites, comparing conventional business-as-usual scenarios against alternative conservation practices. Currently, all of the users upload their data into a database under which right now there's about 360,000 measurements of crop, soil, and greenhouse gas data, individual observations. And they're both pre-release and publicly available databases. I think there's 15 sites that are publicly available now. Those sites have had published data. But for those who are in the network, there's pre-release data that covers all that management data and the collected data for all 34 sites. You can access this by going to the ARS data portal. And there's the website there, and in case you're missing it, there it is again. Here's a summary of our sites that cover across the U.S. It's important to notice, too, that GRACENET is incorporated into the Global Research Alliance, which is a global effort at looking at greenhouse gas emissions and the way that we can use or mitigate those emissions through the agricultural practices that we're using. And more information about this can be found in Steve's paper that was published last year in JEQ. And with that, thank you very much for your attention, and many thanks to our university and industry colleagues and to all the awesome students and support scientists and technicians without which we could not finish or do this work. Thank you.